I do have an announcement. Some of you who are in the class on Wednesday nights over in the Family Life Center may have met a young lady who's been visiting with us for a couple of weeks from the Ivory Coast. She's been in the States for about 5 years or so. Her name is Annie. Well, a couple of our young ladies have been studying with her. Kay and Katie have been studying with her, and they met with me after we concluded worship today. And at the end of our meeting and study today, she was baptized into Christ. And I will get the information to Miss Kathy so she can share that information with the congregation. This sweet lady, I think when she first came here, she was invited to Gators for Christ. And then over the course of time, she just kind of got busy being busy with school and what have you. And either someone ran back across her or she decided she needed to be getting back over here. And she's been over there with us pretty steady for about a month or a little bit more. And a couple of our ladies thought that it was important enough to sit down and study the Bible with her. How awesome is that? We're all evangelists. We all have the opportunity to share that good news with us, with her. Our family members, a person sitting next to us in a pew, neighbor, whomever it may be. But we're talking about forgiveness, and I want to tell you, this, when we were sitting in my office in there, the four of us, and I was going through some scriptures, I wanted to be convinced in my mind that she understood what she needed to do and why. And we got to Romans chapter 6, and we're talking about what it means when we are immersed into Christ, crucifying the old man, all of the forgiven of our sins, no longer slaves of sin, all of these things. And she was sitting there, and she backed away from her Bible, and she put her hands up like she was praying the whole time. Like that's what she so dearly wanted. And when she came up out of the water, she was weeping audibly. I mean, she was just in tears. And she was so thankful and so happy. And I'm so thankful for those two young ladies that thought enough to engage her in that study. So I'll be getting that information to everyone. She said that she may be able to come tonight. She wasn't sure. And so I've got a Bible for her and a study book for this class and all. But obviously, she didn't quite make it tonight. But we'll look forward to seeing her again on Wednesday. Now, we have been talking about forgiveness, and there's a young lady today that understands forgiveness very well. Sometimes we get so far removed from our initial forgiveness, I think we can lose track of what it really means to be forgiven. I hope that we don't, but sometimes we can. But my estimation is, we've got forgiven by God, we've got to forgive ourselves, we've got to forgive others, and we've got to forgive God. Those are our four sections in our study. I think this section of forgiving others may be the most difficult for some people. Forgiving ourselves, for some people, that's their most difficult. But forgiving others, especially when people have done something very heinous to us in our lives. You know, it can be difficult to forgive others. As we look at our study this evening, I think we're going to find that God understands how difficult it can be sometimes. And the teaching that Jesus gives us helps us to see the importance not only of recognizing that it is difficult, but the importance of moving through that difficulty in order to find ourselves with a forgiving heart. Our study starter for tonight, you've been hurt, haven't you? What is the worst thing anyone has ever done to you? And of course, the author says, don't tell it, but maybe draw a line in the space below to remind you of your pain. Now, how do you feel about the person Not the circumstance, not the event, but how do you feel about the person responsible for that pain? Sometimes that gets into the deepest part of our emotions, doesn't it? And it can be crushing to us. Do you think it's wrong to want that person to hurt and to have vengeance levied against them? You think that's wrong? I got two wrongs over here. That doesn't make a right. See what I did right there? Yeah, it's hard to get used to the feeling of when you know that you've been hurt. And why you'd want to turn around and then do that to someone else. I can't understand that either. Yes, we do need to do some extra praying for ourselves or them or whoever it is that's struggling with that difficulty. We're all going to hurt somebody, and hopefully it's not an intentional hurt, it's an accidental hurt. Either maybe saying something off the cuff and we didn't realize that that was a sensitive matter for someone, maybe forgetting something important from time to time because our mind's on something else. And, you know, there are going to be times when we all have the opportunity to hurt someone, but when something is done intentionally, that just takes it to a different level, doesn't it? When somebody's just malicious in how they treat us or treat others. And that makes forgiveness difficult. I mean, we've got to acknowledge that. You know, I don't know what it took for Jesus to sit there with nails in his wrist and in his feet and being mocked after being beaten to within an inch of his life and say, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." But that probably took everything that he had to be able to do that, just as it took everything that he had to do so much that he had to do. I couldn't have done that. Of course, I wouldn't have been the sinless Son of God either, but I couldn't have done that. That would be very, very difficult to do. Now, we're about to see a video, and in this video, our brother Dan, who's kind of kicking us off with our study each time, is going to help us begin looking at forgiving others despite what they've done to us. Let's go ahead and take a look at that now. Faye bailed y'all out. Just saying. She bailed you out. Okay. Lest we forget, And I hope that you don't forget. The man that's sitting there in that empty jail cell, talking about how hard it is to forgive others, daughter-in-law murdered his son while he was asleep in bed. Shot him in the back with a shotgun, packed up the kids and left. And left him there to die. His middle son, Matthew. That's that guy right there. Now, I don't know what's happened to you in your life, but my guess is that most of us have not experienced that level of hurt before. So he's not talking about forgiveness as an intellectual exercise. He's speaking as one who's had to work his way through a very difficult situation in his life and in the life of his wife, Diane. Our author begins with Mark 11:25. "And whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses." And he says, anyone, anything. Now, what does that leave out? Who does that leave out? So how do we deal with that? forgive anyone. You know, there's a lot of folks that are easy to forgive. I'm real easy to forgive. Because you know, that's because mine just really aren't that bad. So I'm easy to forgive. Just keep that in mind. But you guys, you're hard to forgive. You know, when I see you checking your text messages and all during the sermon, you know, I struggle for weeks on end over something like that. No. Oh, that's right. You're checking your Bible app. Okay. But we understand that concept, don't we? There are some people that are just easy to forgive, and some people are really knuckleheads, and they're so hard to even consider being nice to those people because they've done it before, and they've done it again and again and again and again and again. And they've never done anything that's just a little bitty thing. They're PhDs in doing the big stuff that hurts us, right? But we need to forgive anyone of anything. Now, this is the point where people usually have the question, well, if they don't ask for forgiveness, do I have to forgive them? Did we ask for forgiveness before Jesus went to the cross? No. So the terms for our forgiveness were already put in place before we ever had a chance to even put ourselves in a position to need that forgiveness. In a physical sense, in the spiritual sense, you know, it was already needed. So we as Christians need to do everything within our power to set that forgiveness in motion so that when someone does come to us to ask for forgiveness, we've already worked that out in our own minds. Annie, it's very nice to see you tonight. I told everyone here of your baptism today. Folks, this is Annie who I was telling you about. So nice to have you here.
There's a Bible for you and also the book that we're studying out of tonight.
And we are on page 59 in the study book. You all get a chance to meet and spend a little bit of time with our new sister Annie here shortly. Forgive anything. How do we forgive just anything? How do you forgive someone for shooting your son in the back with a shotgun while he's asleep? How do you do that? It's going to take a lot of prayer, isn't it? A lot of prayer. I'm sorry? You have to make the decision in your own mind and in your own heart that I'm going to forgive no matter what. That's very difficult. But when we examine our own forgiveness and we have an appreciation for how much we've been forgiven, doesn't that start our heart in motion to be more forgiving of others? It should. It should. Our author lists a number of horrible things that can happen to us that make it difficult to forgive. A drunk driver crosses the center line and kills your wife and your two children. Is that hard to forgive? I can imagine it would be. I've never experienced that. Your husband is working at a convenience store, and someone comes in there and shoots him in the head for $20. Is that hard to forgive? I mean, we see these things constantly because we're in a world with almost 8 billion people, and most of them are not godly people. You're going to see these things happening, And, of course, the news loves to show these because it's bad news and it gets their ratings up. And so we don't get to see the good stuff. We get to see the horrible things that take place. Our author talks about how this is a very difficult chapter because we're talking about forgiving people that have done some really horrible things to us. But he mentions that it's about making peace with those that forced us to piece our lives back together because they came in and shattered parts of our lives. He mentions three things, and throughout this chapter, over the next three lessons that we have tonight, in 2 weeks, and then in 2 weeks previous, we're going to notice an observation, and that's where we're going to be tonight. In 2 weeks, there'll be two suggestions, and then in 4 weeks, there will be three conditions of a heart that are willing to forgive. First, an observation. The understatement of the year. Forgiveness is hard. Forgiveness is hard. Matthew 6:14, which he touched on, says, if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Have you ever thought about your forgiveness as being conditional? It is. There's far too much information that Jesus gives us that shows that our willingness to forgive impacts our forgiveness that we receive from the Father. Do you remember when Jesus was faced with the paralytic man let down through the roof? Because they couldn't get the guy to Jesus for healing. And he looks at him and he says, your sins are forgiven. And oh, the religious leaders were just appalled. How dare he? Who does he think he is? And Jesus says, well, which do you think is easier? To tell this man to get up and walk or that his sins are forgiven? Well, the easiest thing is to say your sins are forgiven because that's a nebulous thing. You can't really put your hand on it. But a paralyzed man getting up and walking, that's a pretty concrete example, isn't it? Well, to show you that I have the power to forgive sins on earth, take up your bed and walk. What a powerful moment there in Matthew chapter 9 when Jesus does that for that man. What an amazing feat of faith that his 3, 4, 5 friends, however many it took to bring him and to lower him down, showed. We're not given a lot of insight into his, whether or not, you know, he had to pay his friends to bring him or whatever, but his friends were adamant about getting him there. There's so much we can learn from that. But when Jesus says, I've got the power to forgive sins on earth, and then he heals the man to get up and walk, he just pointed out to his detractors that he did have that power. He continued to do that throughout. He did that with the sinful woman in John chapter 8. He did that from the cross to the thief. He called for the Father to forgive those who were acting out this macabre scene before him, casting lots for his clothing and shouting insults at him. But when our heart's been broken, it's hard to put those pieces back together with forgiveness, isn't it? It's hard. There are some exhortations in the Bible that we see beginning on page 52. And the first one, Leviticus chapter 19, 17 and 18. Who has that one for us? Rick?
You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor and not bear sins because of him. You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord.
Now, that was a beautiful scripture till it said, don't hold a grudge. Because we like to hold grudges, don't we? Because that gives us a sense of power over someone. Because we feel like we can hold a grudge. And I've got that on them and they can't do anything about it. But those stiff-necked and uncircumcised of heart people that Stephen spoke about, God says, I'm the Lord and you don't hold a grudge. You love your neighbor as yourself. A part of loving your neighbor as yourself. You know, we go to the greatest commandment, and the first is love the Lord your God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second is likened to it, love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, well, that's good, but at least Jesus didn't mention the grudge thing, right? Well, he quoted the scripture. That includes everything that's in that scripture. That's why I had Rick read the verse above and as well as the extending part of that verse rather than just love your neighbors yourself. Don't hold a grudge. Why would God say something like this if anger and resentment weren't so natural and forgiveness was so hard? God knows us, doesn't he? He knit us together. He knows our personalities. He knows how our brains think. He knows all about that. And when we look at these verses, he's speaking to us to things that are difficult for human beings to embrace. Now, there are some people are just kind, gentle, forgiving people. They just by nature. But that's not the average person, I don't think. I think most of us have to learn those traits. They're not naturally a part of who we are. Who has Matthew 5, 39 through 41? Okay, Todd.
But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles.
Okay. Now, we're dealing with in this verse right here, we're dealing with insults, and we're also dealing with being taken advantage of. When you think about the striking you on your cheek, if they slap you on your right cheek, 90%+ of the world is right-handed. How can a right-handed person strike somebody on the right cheek? By hitting them with the back of their hand. That's an insult. Okay, we're not talking about somebody beating you into a bloody pulp. We're talking about an insult. Then you have what the Roman soldiers were able to do. And they could grab Dr. Mark over here and say, take my pack. And there wasn't a thing he could do to resist. He could resist, but he would end up getting beaten and thrown in jail for it. And by Roman law, you had to walk 1 mile with them. And one of the interesting things about the Romans is they created this amazing road system 2,000 years ago, is they would come in and they would put a post in the middle of town, and then they would walk out a stadia, which was a Roman mile, and they would put a stake in the ground. And they would walk another stadia and put another stake in the ground. They had mile markers all around the Roman Empire. So you knew exactly how far you had to carry that pack. And Jesus says, don't resist. If you're compelled to carry it one, carry it two instead. That's challenging, isn't it? It's very challenging. Retaliation is something that comes so naturally. And forgiveness is not natural. And the Romans, the occupiers, and how horrible they were treating the citizens, It would be easy to think of retaliation rather than forgiveness in those circumstances. You know, one of the beautiful things that we see as we work our way through the history of the early church is we start to see Romans becoming Christians. Not just Jews who were Roman citizens, but true Romans becoming Christians, including centurions. Now, you think that would be possible without some sense of forgiveness? You think that would be possible if they were retaliating against the Romans for the way they were treated? I was raised to not tolerate the mistreatment of someone else. And Susie and I just watched a show yesterday, and it brought back a lot of memories in some ways. And the two young men on the show, they kept reflecting back to when they were young. Their father was a Marine. Ding, 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 number one. Number two, they were stationed at Okinawa. My dad was there twice, but he didn't take us with him there. But there were some kids, military kids, who were not very kind to other kids when I was growing up. And there were some kids there that were mistreating a young man with Down syndrome. They were mistreating him very badly. And these two brothers stepped in and made them quit. And those two brothers got in trouble for what they did to make them stop doing what they were doing. And one of the young men who was mistreating this Down syndrome boy was the son of the general. I can remember those types of predicaments. And it was less about retaliation and more about standing up for someone. But what you wanted to do is you really wanted to clean somebody's clock. Instead of just making them stop what they were doing, you wanted to punish them for it. But you couldn't. But I know it burned in my heart so many times, I wanted people to pay for what they did. My dad was an interesting guy. He volunteered for back-to-back tours in Vietnam, and he absolutely abhorred when my brother and I would ever lift a hand against another person. Fighting was not acceptable. And we found out that it wasn't acceptable on a number of occasions when we got in fights. He didn't tolerate it very much. But retaliation is something that comes naturally, doesn't it? You strike me, I'm going to strike you back. You take from me, I'm going to take back from you. That's the natural person coming out. And Jesus says that's not how it's supposed to be. Who has Romans 12?
Romans chapter 12, verses 19 through 21. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
All right. That's real easy to do, isn't it? To feed your enemy and to give him something to drink. That just naturally flows out of our heart, doesn't it? No, it doesn't. That's learned behavior. That's behavior that God has to condition us for. Why would God prohibit vengeance and instead promote benevolence to our enemies if wanting to get even wasn't so natural, and forgiveness was so hard? I've got a book in my office, and it was actually a textbook of mine when I was doing some of my studies, and it's called The Hard Sayings of Jesus. And I don't think the book's big enough, because most of Jesus' teachings are very hard. Oh, you know, we want to love the children, and we want to, you know, we get to some of those verses, and those are easy, easy, easy. But verses like this are difficult. And he inspires his apostles to say, don't take vengeance, but rather do something good for them. And this Paul is building off of what Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 5 when he talks about our enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. That's a difficult thing to do. Who has Matthew 18? Did I give that to anyone? I don't know if I did or not. Matthew 18:21? I don't think so. Peter comes and says, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? I think that's a legitimate question. Peter was trying to be, overly forgiving by the standards that people had during that day. And Jesus, depending on which manuscript stream your translation comes from, it either says 77 times or 70 times 7. 77 times is 11 times what Peter thought he was doing. And the implication, the way Jesus, it's a daily. This isn't you're keeping a tally on your jail cell of how many days you got left. You're 77 times a day you're to forgive. Now, if you spent all day forgiving someone, you probably wouldn't reach 77. And guess what happens tomorrow? You start over with number one. That's how much forgiveness Jesus is telling us we have to exhibit in our lives. Did I give anyone Luke 17, 3 through 5? Okay. Jesus says, if your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day and turns to you 7 times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. When the apostles heard that, they said, that sounds like a good idea. Is that what they said? They said, Lord, increase our faith. In other words, you've got to be kidding me. But that's where we come to, isn't it? Because we want an end. We want, okay, this is as far as I'm going to go, and I'm going no further. That's human nature taking over. But the Spirit of Christ in us tells us, you keep forgiving, and you keep forgiving, and you forgive over and over and over again. That is so important. You know, I believe that the more we forgive, the easier it becomes to forgive. But in order to have to forgive a lot and learn forgiveness, we have to be wronged a lot. And that hurts. That leaves scars. It leaves things that are probably not going to leave us this side of eternity. And we have to work through those and past those things. What about the Christians in Corinth? In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, they had a brother there who was having sexual relations with his stepmother. And some were laughing about it, some were bragging about it. They didn't know what to do. They were tolerating this guy in the presence of the assembly. And Paul says, you need to put him out. Put him out. Turn his body over to Satan that his soul might be saved. That's in essence what Paul is telling them to do. When you get to the 2 Corinthian letter, guess what we find out? That the man had done what he was supposed to do, and he stopped what he was doing, and he asked for forgiveness. And now the Corinthian Christians are trying to figure out, well, what do we do with him now? And Paul writes to encourage them in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Do you have that one, Faye?
2 Corinthians 2, 4 through 8. For I wrote you out of great distress and anguish of heart and with many tears, not to grieve you, but to let you know the depth of my love for you. If anyone has caused grief, he has not so much grieved me as he has grieved all of you to some extent, not to put it too severely. The punishment inflicted on him by the majority is sufficient for him. Now instead, you ought to forgive and comfort him, so that he will not be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. I urge you, therefore, to reaffirm your love for him.
Now, Paul comes across kind of harsh sometimes, doesn't he? I don't believe he was a harsh person. I believe he was a matter-of-fact person. And sometimes bluntness comes across as harshness. And he could be very blunt. But on this occasion, he shows an extremely tender heart towards this man who was caught in this heinous sin. When he returns, look at what he tells them to do. He tells them to be forgiving of the man. He tells them to be comforting of the man. And he tells them to extend love to the man, so that he is not swallowed up in the shame of the situation in which he found himself. There are times when we have people who come forward, either asking for forgiveness from us or asking forgiveness from God or some other circumstance. And the last thing that person should ever have to do is to sit or stand down there by themselves. And when the final amen is said, people should be gathered around them to forgive, to comfort, and to love them. And I think this congregation does a good job of that. But it's something we've got to consciously consider always doing, to make sure that that's in the DNA of our congregation, that we treat those who have the courage to come forward and admit a fault and to ask for our prayers, and we treat them with this kind of care. As he concludes this lesson, the final chapter of this section on page 54, the first complete paragraph of the on verse 54. Thanks be to God. You and I are normal in this regard. Some who were far more spiritual than we didn't find it so easy to forgive either. They struggled to work through the pain and bitterness just like the rest of us. Forgiveness is hard, but it is not impossible. That's the important thing that we need to keep in mind. Now, when Jesus taught his followers to work toward forgiving those that had mistreated them, what did Peter want to know in Matthew 18? And what does it suggest to us about forgiving others? He wanted to know, how much should we forgive them? Now, what does that say to us? How much do we want Jesus to forgive us? We probably want Jesus to forgive us more than Peter wanted to forgive the person who sinned against him, right? Because we always need one more forgiveness, right? But we're looking for a termination point with how we forgive others. That's right. It was a reflection on the old law, because it was so detailed in how we did these things. And, of course, Peter grew up under the old law. He was a young Jewish man who had grown up as a fisherman, and he'd grown up in synagogue and all those things. And so the religious leaders of his day were extreme legalist. And so it was no spirit of the law, complete letter of the law. Yeah. When Jesus taught his followers to forgive those that mistreated them, if the offender repented, what did the apostles request? You remember what they said? Lord, increase our faith. What does that suggest to us about forgiving others? It's an equal portion to our faith. Okay. Christine, did you have something? Okay. Great minds. Don't know what that has to do with the two of you, but the great minds think alike, right? Oh, yeah, that's right. You see, but I'm easy to forgive. Remember, that was the beginning of the class. So, the apostles, these are the men that Jesus chose to take the gospel to the world. And when Jesus teaches them about forgiveness, they say, we need more faith. You got to help us with this one. Those apostles were not super saints. They were just like you and me. They had the same struggles that we have. And this is a statement, Lord, increase our faith, that we ourselves are prone to have to make when we read these hard teachings of Jesus telling us about forgiveness. Forgiving others is such a difficult thing. And it is such a necessary thing. In the disciples' prayer, Lord, forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Do you see the condition that Jesus placed on that when he taught us the model prayer? That our forgiveness is predicated on how we forgive others. And that's why it's so important for us to learn to forgive. Any final comments tonight? Luke 6, 36 through 38. Well, why don't you read that for us now?
Be merciful as your Father is merciful. Do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Pardon and you will be pardoned. Give and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, for by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return.
I knew I had missed one of those scriptures, and it was the one that I gave to Sister Christine. That good measure of forgiveness is something that we need desperately, and we need to extend that to those in our sphere of influence, whomever they may be. Friend or foe? Anyone else? Let's pray together and we'll be dismissed. Thank you, Father, so much for forgiving us. Thank you for Jesus and his teaching on forgiveness. And we pray, Father, that you would increase our faith. Help us to see your precious words and understand them in how we treat others. Help us, like our Savior, to be forgiving and not to place a number on it, but to merely have hearts that forgive. Thank you for the forgiveness you've extended to us. May we live up to your standard, Father, in the way that we treat others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all very much tonight. And be sure and introduce yourself to our new sister over here.